is of the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed.
Amen.
How real that is in this day. God would still be God in all of his glory if he put us all in hell tonight.
Amen.
Because we all deserve it.
Amen.
There's not one token of grace that we deserve.
Amen.
As human beings, were it not for the grace of God, there'd be no hope for any of us.
Amen.
I'm grateful to tell you tonight that there is grace.
Yes.
And there is mercy.
Amen.
In spite of all the things that take place, as far as government is concerned, as far as religion is concerned, as far as the devil himself is concerned, our God outstrips them all.
Yes, he does. Amen. Yes.
By his mercy and by his grace, we stand tonight.
Amen.
I invite your attention to the book of Amos. It is our thought, at least, to spend about 4 or 5 weeks here, and then hopefully God will let me move to the book of whatever. But I'd like to do another study in the book of Jude. What a time it is to study that book. The book of Jude is often said to be the Acts of the Apostates. But it is even more than that. It is how we're to act in the midst of apostasy. God's children need to learn that. We need to know how to act when all this is happening about us. The Word of God tells us plainly how we should do that. If you're in Amos chapter number 3, one little verse, and what a little verse it is. Verse number 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Bow with me just a moment. Father, this is your house. Yeah, these are your people. This is your book. You called us. You've anointed us. Now help us this night to speak the words that you'd have spoken. These are trying times. Men's hearts are failing them. Men are running to and fro. Knowledge is increasing. And yet the church seems to find itself weakening in the midst of all this. Dear God, awaken us. Bring us alive. Revive us again in the midst of these days, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God, down through the ages, has done everything he will do to save mankind.
Amen.
When God put man in the garden, he put him there in a situation where everything was perfect. His environment was better than he could ever expect. And when God put him in the garden, he put him there to till that garden and to replenish the earth. That's basically all he had to do. Till the garden, replenish the earth. Soon, we don't know how soon. Many of the Jewish writers says that Adam fell the first day he was in the garden. That will not hold water. Well, the scripture tells us that God walked in the cool of the day with Adam. So So there were days, at least, before Adam's failure. When it was is not so important. The fact that it did happen is extremely important. Well, you see, at that moment, at that very moment, you became a sinner. But I wasn't here. That makes no difference at all. For you see, if the sin is in the prototype, then all of us are sinners. And that initial sin has put every one of us in a situation before God that we deserve to go to hell. But men will say, no, so, not so, not so. For I have not sinned after the similitude of Adam. Paul's argument was simply this. Sin passed upon all men. As Adam sinned, we have sinned. And though we may never do the act of sin, we are still guilty before God. I once had some students before me. They had done something wrong according to the rules in the school. And one of them said, Brother Larry, I'm not guilty. I was with them, but I'm not guilty. I said, no, that won't float. If you were with them, you're guilty. Now, a lot of times, we look at situations like that, and we say, well, not so, not so. But it is so. You weren't with Adam in the garden, but you're a sinner after the similitude of Adam. You weren't there when God clothed them because they were naked and drove them then from the garden. And then after driving them from the garden, God Almighty puts a flaming sword at the entrance to the garden to make sure that they do not re-enter. I said in a Bible conference some years ago that there is no place in your Bible that you can find to show me that Adam ever repented. Not one place. Every time you see Adam in your Bible, he is contrasted with Christ. Not compared, contrasted with Christ. And the psalmist said, I will not hide my sin as did Adam. And God marked him as a rebel when he put the sword at the entrance to the garden. Just a few weeks ago, a preacher called me and said, Brother Larry, I've been studying what you said. He said, I didn't agree with you then, but he said, I agree with you now. And I'm willing to say out loud, I agree. He said, I've studied it, and I've studied it, and I've studied it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If God would not permit the first of his creation back in the garden, then what makes you think he's going to let you go to heaven without salvation? You see, there's no hope. Everything that God has is not yours if you're not saved. The very fact that you're a sinner excludes you from all the promises of God. Now, you can claim them all you will, but if you don't know him, they're not yours. You can say all you will that heaven belongs to me, but if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, heaven does not belong to you. In these weeks, I want to try to show you how God saves ungodly sinners. First of all, we must admit admit that we are a ruined people. In Deuteronomy chapter number 26, the scripture refers to Abraham and then the children of Israel. But it speaks of a Syrian ready to perish was my father. A Syrian ready to perish. Now may I say to you that whatever nationality you may be, you are ready to perish without Christ. You stand guilty. You stand condemned. You stand without hope and without heaven. All because of sin. One little three-letter word, sin. But it has marked every soul that ever came into this world with one exception. That, of course, is the Lord Jesus himself. In Ephesians chapter number 2, Paul speaks of the sinner being dead in trespasses and sin. Now, did you hear the word? Dead in trespasses and sin. A dead man can only do three things. You might know to write these down. A dead man can hear the voice of God. Would you agree?
Amen.
A dead man can feel the touch of God.
And a dead man can hear the trump of God.
It's a bad night for batteries. When Jesus came to the graveyard, Lazarus was inside. He'd been dead now for 4 days. 4 days. Now the Jews believed that the spirit of man hovered over him for a period of 3 days. So Jesus waited 4 days to overcome that. Bring that back to me when you get filled. I despise having to hold this thing. My name's not Swagger.
You may think I'm kidding you,
but I promise you I expected some opposition. And there'll be more, probably before this is over. Hell hates truth. And the devil does not want you to hear what I'm going to say tonight. And you probably won't want to hear it. But the fact is that man is dead in trespasses and sin. And the only thing he can hear is the voice of God, the trump of God, and feel the touch of God. Now when God speaks, men change. For the good or for the bad, they change. Let me say this to you. You will not leave this building tonight the way you came in. You'll understand why. You see, we are ruined people. And we don't like to believe that. One of the hardest things to get a man to believe is that he's ruined. But look here, Brother Larry, I've got a pretty good sized bank account. Drive a fairly decent automobile, leaving a fairly decent home. I get along fairly well. You're ruined without Christ.
Amen.
Absolutely ruined.
Amen.
We're without hope.
Yep.
get to that in a moment. But here in the beginning of this chapter, of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul assures us that we are dead men. Now, what does dead mean? Dead means that the cessation of life. There is no more life in them. Now, how can Paul say that men who are walking around, breathing air, speaking, living a life in the daylight and the dark, how can Paul say they are dead? Well, he goes on to say, in trespasses and sin. Dead in trespasses and sin. Now, let's go back for a moment. Go with me back to that garden. Remember God's promise to Adam and to Eve was, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now the argument comes, but they didn't die. That's exactly what the devil said. You're not going to die. Have God said? Yes, God said. But Adam didn't physically die that day. But he died spiritually.
Amen.
Now hang on. When Adam died spiritually, he lost his connecting link with God. Yes. God no longer visited with him.
Right.
And according to the scripture, Adam no longer visited with God. There is no more communication whatsoever. All the seed of Adam follow in the same route. Not one seed of Adam has ever been able to communicate with the God of glory until God communicated with him. Dead men can't communicate. Dead men have no way of doing anything in order to save themselves. In Ephesians chapter 2 again, come on down a little bit, put this on the screen for me. I want you to look at this with me, please. That at that time, that's when you were in the world without Christ. That at that time you were without Christ. Watch this now. Being aliens. An alien is a person that is not a participant. They can't participate in the things of the country they're in because they're aliens, unless you happen to come through our southern border in America. God help us. But an alien is one who has no rights, none whatsoever. So therefore, before Christ, we're aliens. We have no rights. We cannot participate in the things of God. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers. You know what a stranger is? A stranger is one who is not well known. Are you well known? Does heaven know you? That's the important thing.
Amen.
I hear folks say very often, I know the Lord, I know God. Well, does God know you?
Amen.
That's the important thing. Does God know you? It's important more so that God know you than that you know God. Because the God you know, in all probability, is a creation of your own being. We are created gods many. And we worship a God, for the most part, that we ourselves have created. A God that we can tell and we can sway and we can persuade to go this way or that. A God we can persuade to tolerate our sin. Are you listening to me? But the God of glory will not tolerate sin.
Amen.
The God of glory, and He alone can speak to the sinner and the sinner hear.
Amen.
I can preach to you until our Lord comes, and unless God opens your ears, you'll never hear a word.
Amen.
Oh, you may hear the audible sounds, but you'll never hear a word. Your heart will never be pricked by a word ever preached until God Almighty does some surgery on you. I call it spiritual surgery. God begins to open your ears and you hear things you never heard before. When God opens your eyes and you begin to see things you never saw before. And when God begins to operate on your heart and you begin to feel things you never felt before. Now you see, God is doing this thing that we call regeneration in your heart. By the way, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Some years ago, at every altar call, this young boy would come to the altar. His mother came to me one day and said, "Brother Larry, it bothers me that he always wants to go to the altar." I said, "It ought to bother you.
Amen.
He's hearing something you're not hearing. It ought to bother you." I said, "You let him alone. Because one of these days he's going to hear what he needs to hear. God will save him by his grace."
Amen.
And one day it happened.
Amen.
Oh yeah. You see, God doesn't always do it instantly. As a matter of fact, let me just say this to you. There is no such animal as instantaneous salvation.
Yes, sir.
Never has happened. Never will happen. God must do a work in your heart. God must turn you around. And in this regeneration, God is operating on your mind, on your very spirit. God is turning you. You see, if God doesn't turn you, you'll never turn. Why? Because you're hopeless and helpless. You're a stranger.
Amen.
You're not known. Let's go on with this. Strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope. Hello?
Yes.
How much hope? No hope. Yes. Absolutely no hope. You have no hope without Christ. Brother Larry, I'm a church member. Good for you. Many a church member has already gone to hell in front of you. Brother Larry, I've prayed, I've tithed, I've done all these things. Many a person who's done the same has gone to hell in front of you. Now, why do I say that? Because without Christ, you have no hope.
Yes.
No hope whatsoever. Would think that the Sunday night crowd would all be saved.
Amen.
I used to think that. I now know differently.
Amen.
There are folks among us tonight who've never been born again.
Right.
Folks who this very hour, the Holy Ghost is ringing you out. God is dealing with your heart. God is showing you that you are absolutely hopeless without Him.
Amen.
Without hope. And without God in the world.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something. That is a born loser right there.
Amen.
That's one that is far beyond most of what you see. And I say to you that the Christian church today, literally, would cause those of our forefathers to weep.
Amen.
At what they heard.
Amen.
And what they would see. We've let Satan dim our eyes.
Amen.
We've let him stop our ears and cause our heart to be hardened.
Amen.
We no longer want to hear the gospel.
Yes.
Why? I ask you, why is the church not full tonight?
Amen.
My brother and I were talking a few moments ago, Brother Jeff and I, standing out front. And he said, all the cars that pass here, it's a shame and disgrace that this house is not full.
Amen.
And it is. But they're not going to come. A lost man drives by this church and pays absolutely no attention to what's beside him. Individuals who know not the Lord have no respect whatsoever for the day we worship.
Yes, amen.
It's become a play day, a day of sports. A day of driving to see Granny.
Yeah.
When I was pastored in Florida, I called Friday the 3G night. Granny's, groceries, and Georgia.
Amen.
And then I had to add another, games.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Everyone has somewhere to go. Something else to do. Preacher, I'd be there, but.
Amen.
Did you ever notice that goats are butting? I'd be there, but. You catch that, don't you?
Yeah.
I'd be there, but. No, you wouldn't be there because you have no interest.
Amen.
Our young people have been sold a bill of goods and they're going to places where they're being entertained.
Yes.
It's called religious entertainment and it's designed to soothe the soul on their way to hell.
Yes. Amen.
It's what these entertainment centers are.
Amen.
Nothing in the world but entertainment centers entertaining sinners on their way to hell.
Amen.
Keep them happy. No joy, but keep them happy while they trot the road to hell.
Amen.
No stop signs. Nothing to keep them. They won't hear.
Amen.
They won't see. And they won't move toward God until God Almighty impresses upon them. May I use another term, compresses upon them.
Amen.
The gospel.
Amen.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hurry. There are evidences of this ruin all about us. In Romans chapter number 3. Pull that up. That way I want you to look at this, please. There are 14 evidences here of the lost individual. Just how ruined is a man without Christ? 14 things said about him. Let's look at them. There is none righteous. No, not one. Now let's back up a minute. Brother Lamb, what do you mean? I don't mean anything. I'm reading the book. There is none righteous. No, not one.
Amen.
But Brother Lyle, you ought to know my granny. I may not have known your granny, but I know your granny was not righteous.
Amen.
And the reason I know it is because the book said she was.
Amen.
None righteous. No, not one. Let's go on. Next verse. There's none that understandeth. None that seeketh after God.
Amen.
Keep it rolling. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one.
Amen.
My brother mentioned good men this morning. There are no good men. Did that slap you hard enough? Do I need to get that dead possum again? There are no good men. There are no good women. But you don't know me, preacher. Y'all do. I know you very well. There's none good. No, not one. Roll it on. There you are. Move back to that verse. Their throat is an open graveyard. How about that? What a description God gives of mankind. Their tongue, they've used deceit.
Yeah.
Speaking lies all the time. Poison of asps. The serpent is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness.
Man.
Their feet swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways.
Amen.
The way of peace. Have they not known? That's a pretty good description, isn't it?
Amen.
Can I tell you that without Christ you fit that description?
Amen. Yes, amen.
Without the Lord Jesus, without knowing Him, you are a ruined being.
Amen.
So ruined that you won't reach up. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
So ruined that you won't reach up.
Amen.
Even a drowning man will reach for help. But a man in sin is so convinced that he's all right that he won't reach for help.
Amen.
And he can't reach for help until the grace that I spoke about earlier. Till the grace of God shakes him.
Amen.
And awakens him.
Yes.
To his ruined condition.
Amen.
Men willingly go to hell. Willingly go to hell.
Yes.
And the truth is that sinners are pushing each other out of the way, trying to get there first.
Amen.
They don't know it, they don't realize it. But that's exactly what they're doing.
Amen.
Running over each other.
Yes.
Trying to get there first. And when they arrive, they'd like to blame God for it. Did you know it?
Amen.
They'd like to blame God for it. But it's not God's fault. Oh, no. No, no, no. It's not God's fault. And you'll stand before the God of glory. And then be escorted to the flames of an eternal lake of fire. Because you are ruined. Ruined without God, without hope in this world. I give you an illustration, not close. Jesus told us of what we call the Good Samaritan. You remember that? And Jesus said there was a man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho. And that was his plan. But on the way, he was overcome by robbers who stripped him of his garments, took everything he had. And note the words now, they left him half dead. Look at this description thus far. He left Jerusalem, the place where God met with his people, going to Jericho, the city of the curse. You get the picture.
Amen.
On the way, he He's robbed and left half dead. Then religion says, wait just a minute, I can help that man. So the priest comes by, but the priest sees he's half dead, and the priest has nothing he can do for a half dead man. The Levite comes by and looks upon him and realizes, I can't help this man. And he goes on his merry way. Have you learned anything yet? Religion can't help you. Religion cannot help you. Then he speaks of the Samaritan who passed by his way. And when he saw him, he went where he was. Listen to me. You see, he couldn't get up from where he was. He's in the condition of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He's dead to the point that he cannot come to the pathway, cannot get up to the road. But the Samaritan comes where he is.
Yes.
Bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and picked him up.
Yes.
And put him on his own steed and took him to an inn. And gave instruction to the innkeeper, you take care of him. And he gave him enough money to provide for him for 2 days. There's a tremendous truth here. Simon Peter said, one day is the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So, spiritually, this amount that has been given is for that 2,000 years. While God is making plans to come back and get it.
Amen.
While God is making plans to come back and get the church.
Amen.
The Samaritan came by where you were. Picked you up, poured in oil and wine. I don't have time to get into all that, but let me just simply say, wine is a type of the Holy Ghost, and so is oil. The wine kills the infection, and the oil produces healing. And binding up the wounds hides the wounds. From the peering eyes of the world.
Yes.
You see, the world would like to look at all of your trespasses and sins.
Amen.
And bring them up to you.
Amen.
But God has bound them up.
Yes.
And cast them in the deep of the sea behind his back and will remember them no more. Hallelujah. When the Good Samaritan comes back for us, there won't be an accounting of all that we've done. That that's under the blood is gone for time and eternity, will never be remembered again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I hope you've noticed that we are standing at the preface of the coming of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And yet there are ruined folks amongst.
Amen.
Who know not the Lord.
Amen.
I would say that the saddest person on earth is a person in this day and time that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about over.
Amen.
We're about to take the last step. You're about to hear the last sermon, the last song.
Amen.
The last note on the piano and the organ, the last prayer. You're about to hear the last one. until he comes for us. Oh, oh, what concern. Oh, what pathos. There ought to be in our hearts for those of our loved ones that do not know the Lord. And if you do not know him, and I say to you, listen, if you're in this building tonight, God spoke to you.
Amen.
I know it because I know he's here.
Amen.
God spoke to you. Oh, do not let the word depart. And close thine eyes against the light. Oh, sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved.